this is Tom Williams, and you are listening to Talk Theater in Chicago's interview podcast. Well, I have a special guest today, Alex Sanchez. Say hello, Alex.
How are you doing, Tom? Thank you for asking me to do this.
Oh, no problem. Alex is the choreographer of On the Town, one of the most amazing pieces of choreography that I have seen in years. And it turns out to be one of the best shows Marriott's done in many years. You should be proud of the work.
Oh, absolutely. I think all of us take great pride. And I think as we were doing the rehearsal, we kind of felt that we had something very special to offer to the audiences of the Marriott. And you could tell by the energy and the fun that we were having putting it together, as difficult as it was, I think we felt that there was something really special and something to be proud of.
Well, definitely. That is definitely the case. Tell us how you got involved with the project.
Well, I was doing Mary Poppins last year. I was working on it, and Terry and both Andy liked what I was doing with Mary Poppins, and they thought that I would be the right person to do On the Town. And so Andy had asked me if I would be interested, and so did Terry. And of course, the first thing was, yes, I would be interested. And basically they told me, you know, when it happened, they also told me the interesting news is that it had never been done in Chicago, which I couldn't fathom, but it's true. It had never been done in Chicago.
Well, that's not true. I want to alert you on something. On my ChicagoCritic.com website, on the bottom of the review of it, a friend of mine, Joe Stead, is a collector. He's a reviewer, and he's also a collector. He's got a program from April 1st, 1946, where Nancy Walker led a tour that played at the old Schubert on Jackson.
It did play here.
It made Nancy Walker a star, and the other people are kind of unknowns. And I want to alert you and other people to go look at that, because it was sent to me. There's two images. One is the cover with Nancy Walker on it.
Yeah.
And the other is one of the pages listing the cast members in that. So it did play. But nobody
so
knew
it
that.
Did play. The tour played. Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I don't know how long the run it was, but it didn't. But still, I told
back in 1946.
It's still 70 years. And,
yeah.
And who?
That's quite a while.
Yeah. So,
oh, that's good to know. All
yeah, right. it's a bit of trivia that I didn't know, but when it was sent to me, I figured, hey, I'll put it up. That's the magic of the internet. You know, when you get new information, you can put it up right away.
Absolutely.
But tell us now the concept you have. I know you're working with David Bell, who is also a choreographer. How did you guys work together to come up with a concept? Because you're really kind of inventing a new show from old material.
Well, I think one of the problems, not a problem actually, and it ended up being something that worked for us. First of all, the show was constructed as a proscenium. By Oliver Smith, who was one of the top set designers in New York for ballet and for Broadway. And a lot of the construction of the material was based on in one, meaning playing downstage of the front curtain so that they can do these transitions. They could go from one set to another set. So that was one of the things that we actually thought of trimming, because we didn't need that, because we weren't dealing with those same issues. Secondly, we had casted, and we always wanted to from day one, we wanted to cast the sailors who could dance. And a lot of the structure of the numbers were based on having a dream gaby or having dream sailors. And so we also did not need any of that. And so we trimmed them. And then last but not least, David was somewhat not interested in the Judge Pitkin character. He wanted something a little bit more interesting and comical, because he is necessary for the plot, but he had envisioned a younger actor, a very comedic actor. And it was something that we had seen in an audition that inspired us to make Pitkin, let's make him a junior. And then Let's make him younger.
So are you saying that Alex Goodrich influenced your decision?
Alex Goodrich and a couple of other actors who came in to replay also influenced that decision. And in fact, Alex Goodrich was originally auditioning for Ozzy, and we loved him so much, but we knew that he couldn't dance the role because we wanted to get a dancer in there. So David asked for him to do Pitkin. And his reading of Pitkin was hysterical. And so it did. He did actually inspire his character in the show. So having said all that, all of our necessities really is what made us invent a new show, because we needed to do a show that fit the Marriott for the Marriott.
And it fits like a glove. That's one of the other comments that everyone said, especially the transitions. I mean, these people are on the dead run. How they do 8 shows a week, I don't know.
Yeah, it's definitely a conditioning. You know, it's interesting. It took them about 2.5 weeks to be properly conditioned for that show. The first week was a real struggle for them. You know, they were extremely fatigued, as you would think they would be. There were a lot of little injuries because they were fatigued. And I, you know, the Terry James was a little bit worried that the show might be too hard on them, but I told him, I said, well, you know, they have to be conditioned like an athlete to do this much dancing. There's never a show, hardly a book show, that asks for this much dancing in it. And they just have to be conditioned, and they were. They were ultimately conditioned for the show.
Yeah, and one of the things I liked, and maybe you can go into little detail, is the transitions, the scene changes that seem to have been choreographed. You know, in a lot of shows, it's people running in, just coming in and out and grabbing something and going in. But you made them, it's hard to say, but you had them dance the transitions. They were running. And
they did.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did. We put the transition into counts. The reason for that is because we knew that we couldn't go into a complete blackout because it would be very difficult to execute a strike or a set with those four aisles and then there being a ramp going down the aisle. So we knew that we would always have to have some lighting for the actor's safety and also for the safety of anyone who would be, any of the patrons who would be at that moment walking on the ground. So we decided that we might as well make it an interesting looking transition. So let's just dance it. And that's what we did. So we came up with specific people to take in and out certain set pieces. And then literally I would choreograph a sort of a stylistic danceable move for them to strike these pieces. And then in one of the transitions, I thought, oh, why don't I make you two, which was a man and a woman, why don't I make you two lovebirds? And you could come in, you know, holding hands. And so I have them sort of skipping around the stage right before they have to execute their particular set move. And then I had these two women who used to be rockettes. And I said, wow, you guys have beautiful legs. So why don't I have you guys just coming in and do rockette kicks for me before you have to strike the tablecloth? And so I did that. And then one of the tricky aspects of the transitions was the turntable move. So I had to make sure that whatever I choreographed was easy enough for them to be able to execute on a turntable while it was moving.
Well, you know, all of that movement just reinforced one of the major themes of the show, living life in 24 hours, the immediacy and the urgency of everything.
Well, that's true. The pacing of it, we always constantly, you know, David did a wonderful thing first day of rehearsal, is he spoke about his father and him and his father were sitting watching the movie. And they, I can't remember the name of the movie. I think it was a musical, actually. And his father was crying, and he had never experienced that. I think David was 15 at the time. And then his father finally told him that that was the last movie I saw before I went off to war. And I didn't know whether or not I would come back. And that just struck David deeply back then. And then when he was reading the script, it struck him again, that particular moment with his father. So that's how he started our rehearsal with that story, so that we could all get the sense of the fact that these men were only had 24 hours, so they had one day literally to experience all the fun they could possibly experience before they go off to war, never knowing if it's their last liberty or not.
Yeah, let me just interrupt there, so let's set it up for the people who don't know on the topic.
Yeah.
It's three sailors on leave for 24 hours, and they're just determined to see everything and do everything they can in New York in one day. Because it's 1944, the war is raging on, and they don't know if they're ever going to come back. And that was right at the time when the Navy was taking some heavy casualties with the kamikazes and all of that. So
exactly.
Just a little historical. So it isn't a fantasy. It's probably what a lot of sailors did.
Yeah. And I think what's really important that you mentioned is that it was produced and performed during the war. And so there was a sense of urgency that you needed from the get-go. And even the way Leonard Bernstein writes the music, he actually wrote a lullaby prior to the New York, New York entrance. And I think he did that specifically so that you can get the effect of the sailors coming to, you know, starting their leave, their shore leave. And you can sense in that music all of the excitement, all of the passion, and all of the freedom that they're about to experience, and the short amount of time that they had in order to experience all of that. I think you could hear that musically. And so I tried to do that with movement. I tried to reflect that same feeling.
And the show was based on a ballet that Jerome Robbins?
That is correct. Fancy Free, which... What's interesting is that he had done 8 months prior to On the Town opening. He had done it for ABT, American Ballet Theater. He had been asking for a long time to do a full-length ballet for American Ballet. And they kept postponing and postponing. And finally, they gave him the go for a short one act. And he came up with the idea through a friend who had shown him a picture of these three sailors. And he came up with the idea of these sailors on a shore leave. And so he created the ballet Fancy Free. And I think he wanted Aaron Copland originally to do the score, but Aaron wasn't available to do it. And so it was suggested that he meet a mentor, actually, a young mentor of Aaron Copland, who is Leonard Bernstein. And so they met, and Leonard Bernstein played some music for him, and he instantly fell in love with the music, and that's how that relationship started. So then, while he was on tour, they never really worked together. He would write notes of his choreography to Leonard Bernstein. Then Leonard Bernstein would take those letters and notes and translate it into music. He would record it on a phonograph, and then he would send that to Jerome Robbins for him to listen to. And that's how they communicated until Jerome Robbins got back to New York, and Leonard Bernstein was in New York at the same time. So for the longest time, for about 6 months, they were communicating and creating Fancy Free by mail.
Wow, that's amazing. And it's also interesting. Yeah, that the choreography was done first, and then Leonard Bernstein created the music for it.
Well, that is how Jerome Robbins works. What he does is he goes into a room and he works out the choreography. He may use, a metronome or something to keep the rhythm, but he works the choreography first, and then you have the composer come in and watch the choreography, and then the composer will get the idea of how to arrange the movement according to the choreography, which is why West Side Story, when you listen to West Side Story, has the same sort of complexities in its music, because the movement is very complex and it doesn't follow a straight meter. It follows different meters, and it follows different meters because it evokes different emotions. So those emotions create those meters. And so that's how Leonard Bernstein, who naturally composes like that, that's, I think, why those two were a really good match together.
Yeah, they sure. Where does the book fit in now with Betty Compton and Adolph Green?
Now, Betty Compton and Adolph Green were friends of Leonard Bernstein. And so when it was actually after the opening of Fancy Free, something like 19 encores at that performance, of which Jerome Robbins was one of the sailors. He performed one of the sailors in that ballet, by the way. Oliver Smith, who had done the set design for American Ballet Theatre for that piece, had said, you know, this would make a wonderful musical. And so Oliver Smith planted the idea into Jerome Robbins' head. So then Jerome Robbins was on search, well, who could write the book? And so once he knew that he was going to have Leonard Bernstein do the music, and Leonard Bernstein then recommended two of his friends who are a comedy act that have a comedy act in the village. And so they went to see the show, and Robbins talked to them with Bernstein, and Robbins loved them. He loved the show. He thought they were very funny. And after talking to them, he fell in love with them and decided to have them become the writers of the book. And that's how that relationship started.
Fantastic. And didn't Betty Compton created these strong female characters for the show, which I think is one of the landmarks of the show.
Yeah, well, I think Betty Condom actually played Claire Ledoux in the original, and Adolph Green played Ozzy in the original.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah, I had read that where they were kind of writing roles for themselves.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Because they viewed themselves more as entertainers or performers than as writers. But we know them as such a great writing team.
They were. They were a comedy team, like a vaudeville comedy team, you know, like Gracie and Bert, you know, like Grace, Gracie Burns, and George, like that kind of thing. Yeah.
So, I mean, talk about a daunting task for you and David Bell, taking on the work of these young geniuses that moved on to have such great careers.
Oh, yeah.
You research the show? Because obviously you couldn't see it. And I had read where you didn't watch the film. Is that correct?
Yes, I didn't watch the film. I didn't want any sort of preconceived pictures in my head of the movie. So not to mention that the movie is very different anyways. It's Gene Kelly's choreography. It's his work. And a lot of the music is actually not Leonard Bernstein. It's a different composer. So I made sure not to watch the movie. I didn't want to be influenced, by the way. And I made sure that I didn't see any production on the town. I think for me, because I am very familiar with Robbins' work, I've seen a lot of his ballets. I actually saw Fancy Free. I've seen Fancy Free about 3 times.
So it's still being produced.
Yeah, American Ballet Theater and New York City Ballet are two companies that do Fancy Free. Miami City Ballet has done Fancy Free. So there are companies that do commission and do the work, do Fancy Free. In fact, I think in Chicago, in October 3rd, American Ballet Theater, I think at the auditorium, will be performing Fancy Free.
Oh, good. I'll have to catch that.
Yeah, now I hadn't seen. Now the last time I saw Fancy Free was in 1998. I had seen it at the Met Theater with the American Ballet Theater. So, anyways, so I am familiar with Robbins. There is no, from what I know, there is no written notation of the whole show of On the Town, and I believe that the only recording of it actually is not the original production, but the revival of it back in 1998. And so I didn't want any of that imprinted in my mind. I knew that I needed to approach the show fresh, like I had never seen it before, and I have no preconceived ideas of what it should be. And it helped me a lot because it gave me a fresh take on the show. And because we were doing it at the Marriott, and because of the necessity of doing it at the Marriott and making it fit the Marriott, it was a completely different take on the town. And for me, the research was more about the 1940s. It was about the social dances of that era. And also, believe it or not,
the Charleston era as well as the ragtime era, because a lot of the jitterbug and Lindy Hop and swing dances were a spinoff of the Charleston, which is a spinoff of all the rag.
See, I'm glad to hear you say that. I've always thought that, but I'm no expert on that. But I always
Well, now you know. You were right. You're absolutely right. They're all spinoffs of those. And so I used a lot of that vocabulary in for specific characterizations. And, of course, I come from a ballet background. I used to dance with Ballet Chicago as I trained with the Ruth Page Foundation in Chicago. And when I finished my training, I got into Ballet Chicago, and I danced with them for about 4 or 5 seasons. And I did a lot of Balanchine ballets with them. So because I have a rooted foundation in ballet, that's really where the mixture of the vernacular, the dance movement, comes from. It's from ballet mixed in with the social dances of jitterbug, Lindy Hop, swing, Charleston, ragtime. So you see a lot of that in the movement.
And this certainly necessitated tough casting for you guys. Tell us about that.
Oh, absolutely. Probably the hardest show I ever had to cast. The hardest were the three sailors. And then what was even harder were the three understudies. So, because we knew that we needed strong actors, but not just strong actors, but actors that had a comedic sensibility to them. Also actors that weren't afraid to dive into a vaudevillian style of comedy, which is how it was written, in that style. So you take a lot of these young performers who don't have a lot of education about that, and you almost have to train them. You almost have to work with them and show them. I have a lot of training in it because I've done a lot of Shakespeare, and Shakespeare and vaudeville are very similar. And so I literally would have to reenact these roles, like the dance roles specifically, the way that they should interpret it, so that they can have a visual as to what I meant when I said by heightened, stylized form of emotion. And so in the audition process, some people had a very difficult time grasping that. And those are the people who obviously didn't get cast. And the people who did get cast were the ones who sort of, you knew, had potential, understood it, and showed potential for it. But then you also had to figure that they have to be good singers, and they also have to be strong dancers. So it was very difficult to...
Well, not only strong dancers, but there's a lot of physicality in between the dancing. They're doing, you know, jumping on tables and doing flips and so forth. In the acting sense, all three of them, you loved all three of them, and you really cared about them.
Yeah.
And that comes across.
That was important.
Yeah.
That was important to find actors that are charming, that you know are really good in their heart. And the three of them, as soon as they got together, they clicked so well. It was such a wonderful thing to see. We knew it on the first day, and both David and I were grinning from ear to ear, because we knew that that was probably the most important aspect of the shows, that these three sailors had that sort of connection with each other that charms everyone, you know.
And then you had to cast these strong women types.
Yes.
You also had to dance to some, because one of the things I was impressed about is how well the lead females danced.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it is, like for Mariah, who plays Hildy, she's not really a dancer, but she is a natural mover. And so what I did was I tried to take her movements and use that for her in the ballet. Same thing with Johanna. She who plays Claire, she also is a natural mover.
And a great singer.
And so I tried to take... Yeah, and I tried to take what they could do and then do a variation on that theme with their movement. So when you see them in the ballets, it was really choreographed on the ladies, not on the men. I knew the men could dance, but I needed to know that the women could do and look like they could dance, just like the men. And so a lot of the movement was tailored really for the two ladies, for the Hildy and for the Claire.
Now for Ivy, I've worked with Allison Jancy. This will be our third show together. She's just an extremely talented, wonderful, gifted dancer.
Oh, she's wonderful, yes.
Yeah, and she's really a good person, very sweet, a real professional, a real quick learner, and always wanting to learn. And so it was a bit easier to cast Ivy because we kind of, as soon as we saw her, we knew that she was it. She also had that look, that 1940s girl next door, you know, poster girl look that you would think of as Miss Turnstile. So that was a little bit easier to cast.
And you did such a wonderful job with the ensemble. I mean, they were awesome.
Thank you.
And the kids worked so hard. A lot of people don't realize. I always notice when they leave and enter, you see them running off the stage, and then they go to costume change and come on another one. They come running on the stage. It's nonstop manic movement for 2 hours, and it's just wonderful.
It is. They, you know, I told them that in this show, more than any other show, they really are the foundation of the show. I came up with what works for me is that the show is not about six characters. It's really about seven characters. It's the three couples and then New York City. New York City in itself has a character. And I told them that they are New York City. They are that character.
Yeah, they are. And with the great costume changes and those little segues where you see people like walking down the street and it evokes New York during wartime,
exactly.
In a busy time. Yeah.
That's what we were hoping for. And so they know how important it is for them to be able to play all these different roles. And I think as a dancer myself, I always loved being, you know, part of many different parts in a show. So for me, it was a lot of fun to play these different roles. And I think they're having fun too doing that.
What's the audience reaction been to the show?
The audience reaction has been good. I wasn't there for opening night, unfortunately, because I had to get back to New York.
Oh, it was fantastic on opening night. There was buzz like I hadn't experienced in many years.
That's what I was hoping for, and that's what I heard from the cast members that I had talked to. And prior to that, it was difficult to know, because I was so focused on fixes and changes in the show. But it seemed to me that people were really enjoying it, that they were absolutely coming out of the theater in such a good mood. That was my take on it.
Yeah, it was. And impressed on how you guys, how creative the show was and how well it worked. My guest is a young playwright friend of mine who has been to a few Marriott shows, and he said, this show is the perfect show for the stage. And she says it's like it was invented to be at Marriott.
Wow.
That's a nice compliment.
Wow. And that is right. A really good compliment.
And he's right. And you know, there are a couple, some shows that are a stretch to work on Marriott stage. That you guys make them work, but Mary Poppins was a little tough to work on Marriott stage. Although I must say you did a terrific job on the choreography.
Thank you.
But,
yeah, that was a very difficult show because there were a lot of magical elements that we obviously couldn't get away with. Again, it was constructed for a large proscenium stage, and a lot of the writings in the show personified that. You know, it certainly had that in mind. So it was a lot more difficult to translate that one. I think with On the Town, David always wanted to treat On the Town like a ballet. And you talk about how it just keeps moving. It's because of the concept of moving it and treating it like a ballet, like you would treat a ballet.
And I think that worked real well.
And
a lot of people don't realize how historically significant On the Town was, because it came right after Oklahoma, which really put ballet into a musical. So it did.
It made ballet part of the story that served the story. It was the first time that a ballet wasn't done just to entertain. It was done to emphasize
decision or to...
Yeah, to move the story forward, right?
Move the story forward.
So that opened the door for Jerome Robbins and his young creatives to create a musical slash ballet that worked together.
Yeah, yeah. And he, what was really great was that you could take that music and you can tell Ivy's story. You can tell the sailor's story. You can see the action that they're partaking in as they're out and about in the city. It's written in the score too. If you listen to the score, you can almost just envision it yourself. Mm-hmm. You know,
and funny,
going along for the ride.
It's also, you know, when people call it a musical comedy, boy, they're not stretching when they say comedy, because next to being a ballet, it's one of the funniest, wacky shows that you'll see.
It is, and that's Condon and Green. I was very fortunate to have met Condon and Green. I did the Broadway production of Wonderful Town back in 2003, I believe.
You 2004. Choreographed or you were in it as a dancer?
I was in it as a performer, yeah.
Okay.
And and they had come to the first reading of it, and so it was such a treat to meet them both, and they're just such jovial. They were so jovial and such interesting characters themselves. And they were having a hoot and a holler listening to our first read-through again. They were having such a good time. But that's their sensibility, and I think they're just very funny. Again, in the tradition of vaudeville, so it's very stylized and heightened, you know. And I love that kind of humor. I just think it's a joy.
That's ageless.
Yeah, it really is. It really is.
So,
like watching a live cartoon.
You got to be proud of the show. It's on the town at Marriott Theater. Folks, you got to get to see it. And I've been telling everybody, if you only see one musical this year, this is the show.
Oh, thank you.
It's that good.
I think so, too. It's really not done that often, and I understand why. It's just a very hard show.
Well, what's next for you? I think you and Bill ought to do the other one you just mentioned, the one you were in.
Wonderful Town. I had actually mentioned that. I mentioned that to him. So we'll see. We'll see how he feels about that. I would love to tackle that show. Yeah, that would be a wonderful show.
Well, and you know, she talked to Jim Cordy too out of Paramount.
Jim's an old friend of mine too.
He's always looking for those shows. Well, you've mentioned a lot about your background. You were you're a Chicago guy from Humboldt.
I am. I was born in Chicago. I was born at Illinois Masonic. And I lived on the north side of Chicago my whole life. I lived in various different parts. I lived in Lincoln Park. I lived in Humboldt Park. I lived in Rogers Park, Belmont Sheridan, that area. I lived here until 1993 is when I moved to New York. I trained at Hubbard Street. My first training was at Lou Conte Dance Studio back when it was on Wabash Street. And Lou Conte gave me a scholarship. I trained there for a year. I fell in love with ballet and was told that I should go to the Ruth Page Foundation. So I auditioned for a scholarship there, and Larry Long offered me one. And I trained with Larry Long and Dolores Lipinski, you know, all Claire, all these wonderful teachers.
What were some of the shows you were in? You did a number of shows at Marriott.
I did Carousel. With the one that Gary Griffin had directed.
Yeah, I remember that.
I also did Damn Yankees, one that David Bell had directed. And actually, my wife choreographed it with David Bell. She co-choreographed that with David Bell. I also did, a long, long time ago, so actually my first Equity musical, and that was West Side Story, back in 1987, that Dominic Massimi directed and Mark Covey had choreographed. In Chicago, I had worked at, I did a couple shows at the Marriott, at the Camelot Dinner Playhouse. I did a chorus line there. I also did a Sweet Charity there as well. I also worked at the Drury Lane Oakwood too. I did a couple of shows there.
Fantastic. All right, we're almost out of time. I always ask this question. Well, it's a two-part question. What are some of the shows that you'd like to do, and what's coming up for you?
What's coming up for me, I'll answer that first, is right now I'm doing an off-Broadway musical. I'm co-choreographing with my wife. It's called Red Eye of Love. And we open, actually tonight is our first preview, and we open next week. And then I will be doing directing and choreographing a musical review called In the Mood, which is a 1940s review that tours all over the country. And then I'm going to do another production of West Side Story at Riverside Theater in Florida, Vero Beach, Florida. And then I'm hoping that Gary Griffin and myself will be doing Carousel at Stratford.
At Stratford?
Shakespeare.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So what's your dream show? Yeah, what's the show you're dying to do?
You know, there's a, my first Broadway musical was The Red Shoes.
Okay.
And it was in 1993. It was not a very successful show, but I was part of the beginning process of it, and I had seen sort of the demise of the show and the deconstruction of it that ended up making the show worse. But when I first read the script and I first heard the music and the workshop, it was a fantastic show. And it would be a dream of mine to reconstruct that musical again, to revitalize it and to choreograph it. I love the story.
I love the story too. And it needs to be done. And you know, you guys of this generation have taken so many of the mediocre to failed shows and made them work. Gary Griffin definitely has done a number of those.
It's a show that I had talked to Gary about because he's very close friends with Marsha Norman, who was the book writer of the show. And it's something that we had talked about. I think it would be fantastic to do it in Chicago. I think it would be a great medium, possibly for Chicago Shakes, maybe the Goodman.
The Goodman has the resources now after the success of Brigadoon. You ought to start pitching that to him.
Yeah. So that would be my dream show.
Okay. Well, we're just about out of time. Thanks a lot. You made a good case for and explain to people what choreography can do to make a show, because On the Town is a musical comedy, but it's a ballet and a modern dance swing show. And it's, I think, one of the best shows Marriott's done in many, many years. You're to be congratulated.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that immensely. And I am definitely very proud of it. And I really do think that people should go see it because it is an iconic show that is not done often. And I think it would be, especially for those of you who love theater and are interested in theater, to see the first musical written by Bernstein, choreographed by Robbins. And it's a George Abbott musical, so you know that you're going to get a good show.
It's fun. It's nonstop entertainment.
Yes, it throws everything in the kitchen sink at you.
And then when you leave the theater with a big smile on your face when you're driving home, you think about how great it was. You know, the artistic merits of the show. You go, wow. I'm dying to see it again. I may try and sneak in there again to see it.
I agree. You know, please do.
Yeah.
Please do.
Well, thanks a lot.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And folks, go see a play this week. Thanks for listening.